morning, everyone, and welcome to the March 2020 ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report. This monthly conversation is intended to help you stay on top of global fertilizer prices and buy in bulk at the most opportune times. I'm your host, Jake Nieder, and today we are going to be joined with BK Morris from Fertilizer Week and Brian Henry from ADM Benson Quinn. And we're going to start off this morning with some grain commentary, and then we'll go into the fertilizer side. The reason we're going to start off grain commentary, I know that's really on your minds. It's probably been the more volatile of the two markets. So what we'll do, because Brian has some limited time with us this morning, we'll make his commentary available. He'll ask for questions. If you have any questions, we'll unmute the line. Feel free to ask any grain questions, and then we'll come back and we'll do our fertilizer commentary. So, Brian, let's go ahead and take it away.
Thanks, Jake. Well, for starters, just a couple of comments towards the industry and what's changed here of late. Obviously, we're dealing with a pandemic that you really have the entire globe dealing with at this point, and that adds volatility as well as a lack of incentive on the buy side. In addition to that, what we've seen, and this has been a big problem for the industry for a long time, is strong value in the dollar. And though the Fed continues to shoot bullets at it, oftentimes bazooka-style bullets at equities and the providing of liquidity, the dollar remains very, very strong and is kind of the icing on the cake in terms of pieces that offer resistance to these markets. So at this point, we're basically sitting here with a corn market that, for all intents and purposes, has finally had the last two pegs of support kicked out from underneath it. And when I mention that, from an export standpoint, we are considerably behind where we needed to be for multiple different reasons that we've covered in prior sessions. Now you've gotten into a situation where U.S. consumption, global consumption of fuels has dwindled considerably, and that feels like it's kind of the final nail in terms of the ethanol side of things. And any hope of some expansion on that side is gone, and we're very likely going to see instances where plants are slowing down perhaps even further, or in some instances shutting down. We've seen significant weakness in basis levels into the ethanol plants here of late. It's kind of a situation where at this point, everyone's hiding under the desk, and we're just going to have to see how some of this stuff plays out. The other factor from a demand side has been the rout in livestock values. And while I believe this can increase considerably based on and perhaps almost become inflationary at one point or another, they're also in the same spot where they're concerned about consumption and they're concerned about the movement of product at times. So I think that one can probably come back quicker, but yet we're not to that point at this time. One thing that perhaps has developed in corn that is a better situation than we were in, feels like we're competitive now from an export standpoint, and perhaps we'll be able to continue to do some of that type of business. But ultimately, when you look back not too long ago, you had the funds with either a long position or a relatively small short position. You had energies trading at twice the value they're trading at right now. You had a situation where global growth was okay. U.S. growth was frankly pretty good. And now it's all come to a standstill at this point. If nobody else has been selling in the corn market, the institutional investor certainly has, and it feels like they've got some additional room to sell. Looking forward, the biggest key is we've got to get through what feels like it's going to be a couple of months at least. And we've got to get to the point where you don't have the stock market moving between 1,000 and 2,000 points in either direction every day. We've got to get to a point where people are confident in the amount of liquidity that's provided and confident in the counterparty risk they run across. And then ultimately, you have to get to a point where the market ensures that it has value. And until we get to that point, I think that the corn board, while it'll be up at times and down at times, I don't think it's going to offer much in the way of opportunity. From a weather standpoint in corn, and I guess this touches on beans as well, March, perhaps, or the remainder of March, perhaps a touch wet, but frankly, in terms of planting, the current forecast for April looks pretty favorable. And that's, you know, obviously for both corn and to some extent beans. On the bean side of the ledger, it feels like there's a little more interest from the industry to get some beans moving at times. You see perhaps some firmness, at least to the basis. The market is broken considerably. It does not feel like we're near levels where the producer is going to do any selling. We've got the funds perhaps have their belly full from the standpoint of a short position, though I'd argue that they have a little more room compared to corn, which seems to have a ending stocks number that's continually migrating higher. We can still get into a situation in beans where the ending stocks number is perhaps migrating lower. I think that's a really hard case to make at this point, but with maybe a slight competitive advantage versus South America at this point, perhaps we can step in here and maybe do a little business we hadn't planned on. At the end of the day, it feels like there's going to be adequate to ample supplies of both commodities. It just feels like any type of demand spike that may be out there that would help narrow in these supplies is a long ways off. I'd like to have a little more of a positive spin on this, but at this point, with all the concerns related to a number of factors, not just the virus, there just isn't a lot positive to grab onto right now. In a lot of instances, you just got to allow some time for these markets to work themselves out, prove they have value, and hopefully find a piece of information or two in here that'll help drive the market to some values that go back to working for us a little bit.
Brian, we got one question that came in from Nebraska. Looking back, how many years of realistic bearish floors do we see the knife stab for corn and beans? So I'm wondering if they're asking about, maybe you understand that one a little better, but how many times we're seeing the market try and reach for the floor, if you will, before we settle into in this market? The overall market's trying to figure out where that floor is, and to your main point today is it's going to take some time to figure out where these markets settle in at.
Yeah, if that's the angle, that initially I thought maybe we were talking about the knife, the corn market stuck in my back, and that's in pretty deep. But if we're talking about Jake's line here in his superior ability to decipher, what we ended up with here was the first thing we're going to have is some calmness. Typically on a move like this, looking back historically, and we've had some of this nature, not related to this, but we've seen significant drops. Typically, you've come out of this where the recovery was almost in a V shape. Unfortunately, with this one, because at this point we don't have our arms around the virus or the proper method to provide liquidity, or a situation where we're looking at lower supply, because frankly at this point we're actually looking at higher supply, you'd almost expect the recovery on this one to start out looking like perhaps a hockey stick in the market having to prove that it had value before it was able to prove that it needed to be at a higher value.
Thanks, Brian. We're going to unmute the line just real quick, which is a little out of order. But if anybody has any questions for Brian on the grain markets, we'll go ahead and take them now. And then we'll kind of go into our fertilizer update and wrap up the call. Any questions on the grain market?
Yes. In terms of, I've got some old crop beans. Would you recommend at this point moving any of them, and with the bases being stronger, putting them on a bases contract?
Are they kept at home, or have you been paying storage on them?
No, they're in our own storage.
I guess at this point, with the basis levels kind of where they're at, I guess if they were mine, I'd be leaning towards locking in what, if you're in a situation where it's kind of a historically firm basis level. I think from a standpoint in beans, I do think we have a little bit of an opportunity to post some recovery here, if for no other reason, just simply because the market had gotten oversold. I think we have to have decent objectives on what we're looking for a recovery. Basically, what I'm saying is right now, I don't think the bean market has to be a lot lower, but I'm not entirely sure we have a catalyst that's going to generate much in the way of higher prices here over, say, the next couple of weeks. I've always been a proponent, if you're dealing, especially if you're dealing with a basis level that's historically pretty solid, of locking in that level. I've always been a proponent of looking at our activities as producers. We're essentially cash traders from the standpoint of we've got to find a decent flat price. I tend to like to lock any solid or strong basis level in just really step back and take a look at the futures and try to determine where the exposure is. And in my mind, from a future standpoint, I don't think there's a huge amount of exposure to the downside, but I think you really have to commit to holding these beans long enough to find a corrective type rally that's probably technically driven.
All right. Any other questions?
Hey, Brian, with China here a week or so ago saying that they were going to do stuff with the U.S. ethanol, where does that stand currently? And have they done anything with this trade agreement? Have they been starting to buy?
My understanding on the trade agreement is they've taken applications for duty-free licenses. I question at times just when their demand for this stuff is going to be needed, as they have struggled with the same health concerns we've had, as well as some other issues, ASF and so forth, that have hurt their growth. I don't believe they've been actively buying, with the exception of perhaps some wheat. I'm not entirely sure they're fully sold on just how they're going to handle the ethanol piece, but certainly everything has gotten more attractive for them at this point. So I would not be surprised to see them step in here and buy some of the deferred slots on a few of these commodities that they've kind of committed to buying. But at the end of the day, they also have a reason to kind of slow play some of these purchases until they can justify value, which has gotten considerably better, and justify need.
We got one final question we're going to take at the moment, then we'll come back to more at the end because I do want to get the fertilizer update out. The question is on basis. We've seen some weakness on basis over the last couple of days. Do you see that being a short-term thing with basis firming later?
My concern from a weaker standpoint in on the basis level when it comes to corn, my concern is you've had one of the primary factors, or really frankly the primary demand for corn for the bulk of this growing season, being the ethanol side. I think you've got a couple of situations they're dealing with. One, their margin was never very good and typically negative, and now they're in a situation where it's really hard to price anything they'd make it at any margin that even comes close to working. You've got some counterparty risk there in that industry, and I think that you will see a significant number of plants slow down, some of them very likely shut down. And this is all happening at the same time there is corn that that wants to move. So I'm having a tough time believing, unless the board continues to drop and drop significantly, that the corn basis is going to have an easy time firming. From the standpoint of the bean side, I expect that basis level to perhaps hold in here a little better, just simply from the fact that it feels like at times that the bean industry, the crushers and alike, have to generate some movement, where I think just the natural flow of corn and people needing to move some corn is very likely going to keep some weakness on the basis side there. When I say corn basis staying relatively weak, I'm not looking at situations where it's dropping, 7, 8, 9 cents a day like it kind of has been here at points this week and late last week. But it just feels like that market pipeline will stay satisfied with corn. And one of the things to keep an eye on when marketing, I think we're on the cusp of building in bigger carries into this market, which perhaps gives you a little better opportunity on new crop here at some point.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it very much. We'll take some more questions at the end of the call. Appreciate your time with us today. We'll now turn our attention to fertilizer. And BK, if you could unmute your line, we'd like to kind of go through our fertilizer update and hear what your thoughts are on the market, and then we'll jump into the ADM recommendations.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm BK with Fertilizer Week. Basically, the best way to describe the fertilizer market overall right now is there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect between overseas prices and New Orleans. There's a disconnect even between the barge market and the interior, although I will leave the latter for Jake to discuss the most. Right now, based on our expectations for what will be offered into India, the equivalent price at New Orleans for a new spot purchase out of the Middle East would be about 267, 268. Problem is, most of the business on urea that I'm hearing about this week is falling into the 250s, a little bit above 260. But obviously, that's a bit of a spread. None of these numbers I'm hearing, whether they're from people who are tend to be bullish or people who are bearish, would support spot cargoes from the Middle East or from North Africa at this point. The program cargoes will, of course, still come. The spot purchases that have already been made will still come, which means in addition to about 550,000 nets arriving in March that I'm certain of, and the number, the bias there is probably a little higher rather than a little lower, but I expect a similar volume in April. There has been talk from some in the industry that we are short up to 1 million tons. I have always thought that's an overestimate, especially I don't think one of the things that's being taken into account are reduced U.S. exports in recent months. Having said that, as I said, I think the key here is that there's definitely a disconnect between what people want to pay at New Orleans and, at least for now, what the major suppliers are willing to sell at. Somebody's going to have to move. Looking at DAP right now, that price has not suffered as much. Low 270s prices are predominant for DAP. Mid 270s prices are predominant for MAP right now. The key here is that MAP continues to maintain about a $5 premium over DAP. This is contrary to what we've seen the last few years, where usually Q1 and Q2 tend to see even pricing between DAP and MAP at NOLA, or sometimes even a discount for MAP. The reason is the same as I mentioned in the last call. We are seeing so far sharply lower arrivals from Morocco. Those arrivals should start to pick up, or are picking up in March. They will pick up expectations based on what we're being told by OCP in Morocco, is that we should expect 2, maybe 3 cargoes per month arriving this month, April and May. But this is sharply lower from where we saw 4 cargoes arriving from Morocco. We've already seen some cargoes, phosphate cargoes arriving from the FSU. There's been some confusion around the Eurochem shipments to the U.S. Right now, they still seem to be favoring doing mixed cargoes. In other words, when you read about a Eurochem cargo, it's probably going to be about 30, 35,000 tons, and it's probably going to contain DAP, MAP, urea, NPS, and products I cannot pronounce. that are for the industrial or commercial markets. The problem is that people are picking up, they're finding out there's a boat coming, it's got potash on it. People are assuming it's 30,000 tons. There's a cargo coming, it's got DAP on it. People are assuming it's the whole boat. I'm relying right now on the reports I'm getting directly from Eurochem, and they are saying the cargoes that they're loading are multiple product cargoes. I'm not saying producers aren't sometimes capable of fitting a little bit. In terms of potash has been arguably the most rational of the products all along. It's oversupplied. The market got down to 207 at NOLA last week. I talked to people in the interior markets, and the expectation is for lower prices there, which means NOLA will probably continue to drift down also. There's really not a whole lot holding it up, both either domestically or internationally. We're just plain oversupplied. Getting back to nitrogen, there's talk of UAN getting down certainly into the 120s on a prompt basis. Sellers have been trying to hold at 130. I'm not sure how long that's going to last, though, at this point. We would need higher prices in the Midwest and on UAN, and it's hard to see that being in the cards with urea being so weak. The other question I think people are going to be looking at is ammonia. Everyone I speak to who does business in the U.S. Gulf, in other words, they get at least some of their supply, whether it's for industrial or for fertilizer production, including sulfate, expects to see lower ammonia prices in coming weeks and months. When you do that, it's just another reason why there should be some less expensive ammonia out there. What's less expensive? Well, product has been selling in the high 300s, but producers have said they want to see $400 in April forward. I have a hard time seeing how that'll be achieved when the U.S. Gulf is so cheap, although the correlation there is not always terribly strong. But the fact is, there's still time for people to make adjustments, and usually that's when you see when I see the U.S. market adjust to the world situation more closely. So not a very bullish picture there, and let's be blunt, it's a lot more bearish than I was the last time I was on this call. Thank you for your time.
It's a fair point, BK. I think we're all feeling kind of the overarching effects of the pandemic right now. So let's talk about that in a little bit more detail here. What are we doing at ADM? Are we concerned about supply? I want to try and answer a lot of your questions that I've received through some of the salespeople. So first of all, from a supply perspective, we don't believe that there is a risk of having shortages of fertilizer in the United States. The only thing that would drive that we don't see today would be if domestic plants were to start to shut down. We do not believe that's the case. We've spoken to several different producers. A lot of them are going into rotating shifts, kind of keeping groups from cross-pollinating, a lot of office employees out of the office working remotely to decrease the amount of spread and exposure. And so what we'll do is we will make sure that we have supply on hand before we make sales. We'll make sure we've got logistics to back it up. Probably one of our bigger risks is what happens at site of river terminals. Again, we went and addressed with a lot of the terminals we either lease from or our own operations group, and they're doing similar things that the U.S. Fertilizer producers are doing. Again, mitigating the amount of people coming into the office, essential personnel going in only, planning to remain open, trying to keep shifts separated so that you always have some form of backup amongst the workers, and essentially trying to make plans so that we have continued operations through the spring season. We anticipate there could be headaches, but we don't anticipate major disruptions. Let's talk a little bit about the river real quick and a river update. So the U.S. river system, last time we had Charles Jacobson here, and he kind of talked about the river when it would open up. So anybody buying fertilizer on the upper Mississippi River, there was a news flash that came out saying barges are going through Lake Pepin. Those are barges that were originated above the St. Louis locks. Those locks are still closed. They will not be open until April 1st. So there's no resupply of fertilizer yet into the markets until April 1st. If there were, we would definitely announce it, and we'd be encouraging you to come pick up product as quickly as you need it. With the wet weather, though, we anticipate there's sufficient time to get product in place. We have a lot of product in place already. That isn't a Donald Trump comment, where we actually do have it, and we have it on hand. So we're not worried about running out of supply right now for an early open or for the sales that we're making today. We're in a much different situation than we were a year ago. There's always risks of flooding. There's risks of running into a different pocket of the river becoming more wild than the other. But again, from a starting inventory perspective, barges in position, product in the Gulf, we're well positioned to be able to deliver and execute on spring season. And all our terminals are trying to take precautions to make sure they have an operating staff on hand. So we're doing our best. We hope we can address any specific concerns you have. But we do not anticipate a closure unless required by the government. And that is our hope right now. We view agriculture as essential. Obviously, we're grateful at this part of our, you know, we're grateful to be in this part of the business. And we're there to help you guys get a crop in the ground. There's a lot of uncertainty from a price perspective. So I'm going to roll now into what we see from a price and recommendations. To BK's point, everything has softened a few dollars. It's not been a massive correction. Keeping in mind, the markets were already at some really low levels to begin with, particularly from a historical perspective. Our recommendations haven't changed for the spring. Remain covered. Remain covered on your nitrogen. Remain covered on your phosphates. And if you had to pick a product to buy hand to mouth, it would be potash. Sulfur, I would get more coverage on because sulfur prices are trying to firm. At least they had been prior to all this pandemic talk. What are my biggest concerns? My biggest concerns are liquidity in the markets, businesses' access to capital, change in ethanol production and acres. If those big things move, they will put downward pressure on pricing. The pressure is likely going to come and be recognized in price after the spring season. We all know that we're within weeks of planting, some areas 6 to 8 weeks away, some areas a weekend away of good weather. And that will help fertilizer prices stay stable because as long as there's, you know, product flowing out the doors, people are willing to basically hold price for the spring season. So let's talk a little bit about what we're seeing in the deferred periods and what our best guess is today. And it's a guess based on supply and demand and a lot of cost curves, what we think forward prices could be for urea, UAN, P&K, and potash in the fill. So on a urea basis right now, we're trading somewhere between 260 for prompt moving barges if they're in the right place to 250, 255 for March barges today. And we expect that NOLA urea price in July, August, September timeframe to reset down around somewhere between 200 and 220. Our bias is more towards the 220 line, but again, more negative the market is, the more there'll be downside pressure. We got to keep an eye on the corn acres, and that's going to drive that price reset. If you did simple math, there's a lot of margin, a lot of room for producers to cut price further on nitrogen. The cost of production is less than $100 a ton for urea basis natural gas prices today. But we don't see that happening because of the global need for nitrogen. So again, we'd have to affect the global supply and demand for that price call to go significantly lower than where we have it today. UAN, from an interior perspective, we expect that to be, again, July, August, September timeframe after your top dress. Probably a reset somewhere in the 170 to 175 terminal with a little bit of downside pressure. Again, that local market we deal with here, when I say local market, the North American market's oversupplied UAN. And so we will be priced accordingly to incent tons not to come here. So there is downside pressure to that call we have right now on 160. We're not making a recommendation. We're giving you an idea of where prices are going to potentially reset as you factor in carryover, just-in-time buying versus locking in supply. Want to give you a good idea of what we're seeing so you can evaluate your risks. Potash. Potash right now, probably the the biggest area for correction on potash is if you're 300-400 miles away from the U.S. river system. The river system is hyper-competitive right now on pricing of potash relative to the interior domestic or North American suppliers. The Canadian producers are holding a price up at the terminal that creates a spread, an abnormal spread of around $30 a ton when it's normally about $10 to $15 a ton. My point being is there'll probably be downside pressure on interior pricing of potash, very little downside pressure on the NOLA pricing of potash. It's already rather cheap. It's rather painful. We go back to historic lows. There's $20 to $30 a downside in potash from what we've seen over the last 15 years in pricing. So wanted to give you a perspective of what we're seeing. Our recommendation right now is focus on spring. We're not confident enough to make that recommendation for the fall yet. Recognizing these are low prices, let's just wait and see how this market plays out over the coming weeks, how quickly we get back to work and normalize, and hope that everyone remains safe out there. We'll now open the line up for questions and appreciate your time on the call today. Are there any questions?
Yes, the question I have on the grain side is basis level here in southern Minnesota was very attractive. They're starting to widen out now. I made some sales with just basis contracts. Is there any reason not to take the cash, get an option strategy, or get a call in place? And on that call, typically I would go with a July. Do you feel the need to move to an August instead, or a September, excuse me, just to buy more time? Can you give me a quick answer on that?
Okay, Brian has stepped out of the room. I'm going to see if Jordan, if you're available to kind of help out on this one. If he's not there, what we're going to do is we're going to get back to you on the grain. Jordan, are you there by chance?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah. Okay. I guess let's first tackle the basis movement that you've seen. Obviously, Brian alluded very well earlier that the ethanol plants went from not making a lot of money, basically covering variable costs, to losing quite a bit of money over the last week to 2 weeks. You know, basis values have a lot of risk to continue to move lower just because the ethanol plants don't need to run as hard as they were. On your view of an option strategy, you know, I like the option strategy, not necessarily because we've seen how cheap the board is, but more than anything, you kind of know what your risk tolerance is if you put on an option strategy as we move into the time frame of the July futures month. So I think that's a viable play. We all are aware that over the next 30 to 45 days, we're probably going to continue to feel pain, whether it's in the grain markets, the financial markets. You look at option strategies for that July or even more deferred. It's probably somewhat of a safer bet, but more than anything, and what you realize is you know exactly what your downside is when you put that option strategy on.
Yep, that's my exact thought too. And the thing I'm struggling with is, do I do July? Or do I buy the extra time value? Because is July a realistic time that we're going to see any positive movement? Or is through July, August, the more realistic thing to see a positive movement?
Yeah, I mean, given today's scenario, I think you want to look at both of them, compare the two costs. But again, you know, it's going to be really hard to say, hey, July is going to be it, or even if August is going to be it. We have so much uncertainty that... you know, I can't really disagree whether you pick either one.
Yeah, there's an argument to be made for both. Okay, hey, thank you guys very much. This is a great call.
We do have one question here. We have seen higher prices in urea in the last few weeks. Do you see UAN and anhydrous following that trend into the spring and summer months? I do not. The reason being, anhydrous is going to have 100% related to weather. Could anhydrous prices go up at the local co-ops and throughout the local system? Absolutely, it could. It probably will, because there's a bottleneck. You can only put so much anhydrous through our system because of a capacity perspective. The one thing we have to respect about anhydrous, too, is you've lost a lot of the resupply ability on the Magellan pipeline. And so that's decreased the amount of anhydrous we can get into the U.S. interior. That seems to be factored in today in pricing. But as it gets tighter, as it's maybe realized, we could have some spikes. But the overall fundamentals don't argue that prices of anhydrous will be higher today versus what they will be in the summer months when we get into a fill period. On UAN, it's the same thing. And so when you look at the base S&Ds, UAN is oversupplied. Now, producers are very smart. They have great strategies. And as they export tons out of the U.S., they've made room for imports, kind of creating stability in the marketplace. They've been very, very smart this year managing the supply-demand balance here in North America. We do expect local regional tightnesses and outages. But overall, from a market perspective, there seems to be sufficient supply for the demand. Now, a month ago, we probably would have argued that it felt like we're all going to lean more forward on our corn estimation on acres planted. Today, with the amount of uncertainty, none of us know. If we were to plant additional acres of corn, then yes, you know, if we get into that 95 million acre corn range, yes, we'd have some shortages on UAN in pockets throughout the spring. Any other questions?
Yeah, I got a grain question. I mean, it's starting to come to light that the damage being done to the ethanol industry is mounting, and I'm just starting to play that forward. Just curious on anybody's thoughts regarding, this old crop corn market, worst case scenario, could have another dollar down in it or more. I mean, I just don't know the magnitude of the damage plants shutter or reduce production. I mean, given our supplies, I'm not sure that we have room for that. I was just trying to understand the total price risk for old crop. I understand that the demand will come back at some point, but hard to create a scenario where that's going to happen with any kind of positive impact on old crop. Any thoughts?
It's a great question. Jordan, I'm going to lean to you if you're still on with this, if you kind of give some input on that one.
I think your fear is real. I'm not sure a lot of people saw what happened over the last 2 weeks with the ethanol margin completely falling out of bed. We saw what the war on being competitive out of Saudi, you know, Russia, we're all aware of how strong of a production group that we have in the U.S. From an ethanol standpoint. Ethanol and the corn plants have been the main driver of continuing to keep ownership, to keep running, to cover, you know, essentially their variable cost. Now you kind of throw it out the window as they, you know, the plants have ownership. They have enough ownership here on the front end, where they don't necessarily have to go out and put any deferred ownership on. And if they don't have to put any deferred ownership on, it doesn't really make you that friendly from a basis or a premium standpoint. We were already at historically high basis levels, and that was with not a lot of export activity 3 months ago. Now we've got some export activity, which is great, but you're taking off your big demand from the processing segment or from the ethanol portion of our business. So I think your fear is real. Nobody really knows when this thing will shift, because we have so much macroeconomic turmoil in our world infrastructure right now. I'm under the opinion basis is going to continue to have probably move lower, just because it's not making any money on the ethanol segment. We've seen over the last 4 to 6 weeks, we've seen the Asians come in and buy a fair amount of corn, where we've seen exports pick up, but still we just continue to see so much pressure on the basis, and then on top of financials, pressure on Chicago.
Good comment, good question. Thank you for that, Jord. I don't have anything to add other than I would say in all of our guts right now, we kind of feel that this uncertainty is lasting longer than what, just because we don't know. And I think that's generally to a recovery in all of these markets. And with that being said, it means that there's going to be a lot of uncertainty. It's hard to get on this call and put ourselves out there and say, we just don't know. And the reality is there's just a lot of economic uncertainty, whether it's the fertilizer market, the grain market. But we are going to share with you the information we do have. I remember when President Trump made his first announcement a few nights ago. We were worried about vessels coming in, and then as we learn more and facts continue to come in, we learn that there's not an issue there. We know that the U.S. and Canadian border are talking rather aggressively about limiting travel, but they continue to have that theme of allowing commerce. So there's just, like Jordan said, there's a lot of macroeconomic issues that within a moment's notice, policy change for the short term could change a lot of things. We're definitely trying to stay in front of those. And if there are big changes, we'll definitely share those with you as soon as we can and know about them. Likely we all hear about it at similar times. If there are no more questions, we do appreciate everyone's time today. We appreciate your business. We wish you the best of luck in spring season. We'll have another call April 15th. If you're not yet planning, then we hope to have you in here, and we'll kind of give you a better look at what we see in the third quarter and what we expect those fuel prices to look at as we take out a little bit more uncertainty out of the market over the coming month. Thank you all for your time.